Today is the 19th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. I trust that all is well as we navigate through this week. I know that all is well here around the global campfire. Things are always well here. We can drag whatever's going on in our life in here, but this is a safe place away from all of that, where we've come for simple reasons to be together, to know we're not alone, and to allow God to speak to us through His Word. So it's always wonderful to be here in this peaceful place together, taking the next step forward. Our steps have been leading us currently through the book of 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament. That will be the case today, but today we will conclude the book of 1 Chronicles before continuing our journey through the letter to the Romans. So today, 1 Chronicles chapters 28 and 29. David summoned all the officials of Israel to Jerusalem, the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of the army divisions, the other generals and captains, the overseers of the royal property and livestock, the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the other brave warriors in the kingdom. David rose to his feet and said, "My brothers and my people, it was my desire to build a temple where the Ark of the Lord's covenant, God's footstool, could rest permanently. I made the necessary preparations for building it, but God said to me, 'You must not build a temple to honor my name, for you are a warrior and have shed much blood. Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, has chosen me from among all my father's family to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen the tribe of Judah to rule, and from among the families of Judah he chose my father's family. And from among my father's sons the Lord was pleased to make me king over all Israel. And from among my sons, for the Lord has given me many, he chose Solomon to succeed me on the throne of Israel and to rule over the Lord's kingdom. He said to me, 'Your son Solomon will build my temple and its courtyards, for I have chosen him as my son, and I will be his father. And if he continues to obey my commands and regulations as he does now, I will make his kingdom last forever.' So now, with God as our witness, and in the sight of all Israel, the Lord's assembly, I give you this charge. Be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God, so that you may continue to possess this good land and leave it to your children as a permanent inheritance. And Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So take this seriously. The Lord has chosen you to build a temple as his sanctuary. Be strong and do the work." Then David gave Solomon the plans for the temple and its surroundings, including the entry room, the storerooms, the upstairs rooms, the inner rooms, and the inner sanctuary, which was the place of atonement. David also gave Solomon all the plans he had in mind for the courtyards of the Lord's temple, the outside rooms, the treasuries, and the rooms for the gifts dedicated to the Lord. The king also gave Solomon the instructions concerning the work of the various divisions of priests and Levites in the temple of the Lord, and he gave specifications for the items in the temple that were to be used for worship. David gave instructions regarding how much gold and silver should be used to make the items needed for service. He told Solomon the amount of gold needed for the gold lampstands and lamps, the amount of silver for the silver lampstands and lamps, depending on how each would be used. He designated the amount of gold for the table on which the bread of the presence would be placed, and the amount of silver for other tables. David also designated the amount of gold for the solid gold meat hooks used to handle the sacrificial meats, and for the basins, pitchers, and dishes, as well as the amount of silver for every dish. He designated the amount of refined gold for the altar of incense. Finally, he gave him a plan for the Lord's chariot, the gold cherubim, whose wings were stretched out over the Ark of the Lord's Covenant. Every part of this plan, David told Solomon, was given to me in writing from the hand of the Lord. Then David continued, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. The various divisions of priests and Levites will serve in the temple of God. Others with skills of every kind will volunteer, and the officials in the entire nation are at your command." Then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, "My son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals. It is for the Lord God himself. Using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for building the temple of my God. Now there is enough gold, silver, bronze, iron, and wood, as well as great quantities of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I have already collected for his holy temple. I am donating more than 112 tons of gold from Ophir and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for overlaying the walls of the buildings and for the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen. Now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today?" Then the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals and captains of the army, and the king's administrative officers all gave willingly. For the construction of the temple of God, they gave about 188 tons of gold, 10,000 gold coins, 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, and 3,750 tons of iron. They also contributed numerous precious stones, which were deposited in the treasury of the house of the Lord, under the care of Jehiel, a descendant of Gershon. The people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. "O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion people are made great and given strength. O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. We are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. O Lord our God, even this material we have gathered to build the temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there. You know I have done all this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. O Lord, the God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, make your people always want to obey you. See to it that their love for you never changes. Give my son Solomon the wholehearted desire to obey all your commands, laws, and decrees, and to do everything necessary to build this temple for which I have made these preparations. Then David said to the whole assembly, "Give praise to the Lord your God." And the entire assembly praised the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and they bowed low and knelt before the Lord and the king. The next day they brought 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 male lambs as burnt offerings to the Lord. They also brought liquid offerings and many other sacrifices on behalf of all Israel. They feasted and drank in the Lord's presence with great joy that day. And again they crowned David's son Solomon as their new king. They anointed him before the Lord as their leader, and they anointed Zadok as priest. So Solomon took the throne of the Lord in place of his father David, and he succeeded in everything, and all Israel obeyed him. All the officials, the warriors, and the sons of King David pledged their loyalty to King Solomon, and the Lord exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel, and he gave Solomon greater royal splendor than any king in Israel before him. So David, son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. He reigned over Israel for 40 years, 7 of them in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. He died at a ripe old age, having enjoyed long life, wealth, and honor. Then his son Solomon ruled in his place. All the events of King David's reign, from beginning to end, are written in the record of Samuel the seer, the record of Nathan the prophet, and the record of Gad the seer. These accounts include the mighty deeds of his reign and everything that happened to him and to Israel and to all the surrounding kingdoms. Romans 5, 6 through 21. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died. From the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners, but because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Psalm 15, a psalm of David. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Such people will stand firm forever. Proverbs 19, 18 and 19. Discipline your children while there is hope. Otherwise, you will ruin their lives. Hot-tempered people must pay the penalty. If you rescue them once, you will have to do it again. Okay, so listen to these words from Romans that we read today. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time. Really, what else is there to say? Like that says it all. That gives us the context for the life we are now living. And this is where Paul is going in this letter. So we were talking about Abraham going back to the beginning of the story and how one might be righteous before God in a relationship that is in right standing before God. And Paul has been using Abraham as the example that it was faith that made Abraham righteous before God, not works, not following the Mosaic law. Paul is saying that God came for us. We're not working our way to him. We can't do that. There's no way. He came for us. And so I quote out of Romans today, since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. And I personally say amen to that. And as for the law, according to Paul, its purpose is to reveal our inability to become righteous before God in our own strength and by our own power, because nobody can obey it perfectly. So the point here is what we were just saying. We can't take these commandments and try to perfectly obey them to then claim that we have been on our own, in our own power, made righteous before God. We simply have ascended to that power through righteousness that comes from within us. That's not possible. We can't work our way to God. He came for us while we were still his enemies. It's not about something that we can achieve or do. There's nothing we could do. He came for us. And the law, according to Paul, reveals our inability to get to him on our own. This is good news. I mean, think about it. It's so easy for us to think that because we love God and because we know that he loves us, then he owes us something. But he doesn't, and he didn't. He owes us nothing. He didn't need to do any of this. And while we were his enemies, he came for us. That should humble us. God came to rescue us from the darkness we made for ourselves. And we were and are helpless to do anything about it. And still God came for us. Which leads us to where we started. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time. And the implications are astounding. I quote from Paul. Just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's take some time today to be grateful. Let's take some time today to ponder. God doesn't owe us anything. He never has. He never will. While we were helpless and in the darkness of our own making, while we were his enemies, he came for us and loved us. That actually ought to change the way we live today. And so let's give it some thought. And Holy Spirit, come into this. This is something that we know. Like, we know this is a theological fact, and we know this in our lives, but it's so easy for us to just kind of keep going on at warp speed and ignoring the fact that you actually love us and you actually came for us even when we were completely against you. You are trustworthy in ways that are beyond even our comprehension. And yet, we choose to not trust you a lot. Forgive us. We've been missing out. You've invited us to be in a relationship. The fun and beauty and joy of life together. And so often we've distilled it down into certain rules and principles that we need to follow to get you to do something for us. And yet the realization is that while we were your enemies, you already came. May we rest in the joy that this brings all throughout this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is where you can find out what's going on around here. Alternatively, the Daily Audio Bible app does all of that and much, much more. You can download the app free from the App Store that works with your device. And yesterday I talked about this brand new the brand new resource in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. It's for Daily Audio Bible Kids. Ezekiel, our son, he reads for Daily Audio Bible Kids, and he's been doing that for a couple of years now. And he signs off his program each day by telling everybody bye. And over the years, we've gotten lots and lots of emails that sign off bye, and lots of calls to the prayer line that sign off bye, and it's just kind of taken on a life of its own. And so we made, for Daily Audio Bible Kids, some bye t-shirts. They have Ezekiel, he's kind of a cartoon character, waving, and the Daily Audio Bible logo, Daily Audio Bible Kids. So we have adult sizes, because there's a lot of adults in this community who love Ezekiel. And we have kid sizes, lots of kid sizes, all the kid sizes. And so you can check that out at the Daily Audio Bible Shop at dailyaudiobible.com, or you can get to the shop in the app as well by pushing the little drawer icon in the upper left-hand corner. And then once you're at the shop in the lifestyle section, you'll find the Bai t-shirts. So check that out. It's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying wearing my own. And so, yeah, check it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and given freely to whoever, wherever, whenever, and to build community around this rhythm so that we show up each day together for each other, we're not alone, and we know it. If that is life-giving to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Father, you said in your word that if we as earthly parents know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will you give unto us? You also said in your word that we can come boldly before your throne of grace in a time of need, and we would find mercy and we would find help. So, Father, we thank you that I bring the DAB family before you right now. We come as children before you. We are your children. You are our Father. So, God, we thank you, Lord, for meeting the needs of your people across this world. Bless the Harden family, the entire family, his wife, Jill, the children, the grandchildren. Keep your hand of love upon them, Father. Bless them tremendously, as you have already done. Continue to bless them. And Father, we will thank you because we know that you care for us. All the needs that have been shared across this platform, I pray, God, right now that you are the Father who will meet all those needs. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross called Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that makes the difference in our life. And God, we give you praise right now. Bless these, your people, who hear this prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we honor you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. This is Rodney from Atlanta. Peace.
Hi, y'all. I'm the woman that called in March 22nd in distress about receiving a DUI after drinking a couple of beers. I received a sentence of guilty with a hearty fine and jail time of 6 days. Needless to say, I'm devastated. I may not sound like it, but I'm working on the forgiveness of myself. I played with fire and was burned by my selfish choice. I deserve what I receive. As I've been going through the process of forgiving myself, I was touched at the end of May about what Brian was saying, how Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit are all intertwined together. As I envisioned that, I felt that Holy Spirit calling me to be intertwined with them, and not only calling me, but calling you all to be intertwined together with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As I've been praying for you all, and as you pray for others, envision yourself in that realm. We are in the healing and encouraging process as we are intertwined together. My new name is Intertwined. My email is march22nd.intertwined, intertwined@gmail.com. I love you all, and I just can't thank you enough for all the prayers that you prayed for me. Looking forward to praying all the more for everyone that's out there listening. Thank you again.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Renzo in Florida, and I just want to pray for a few of the dabbers that called in. Dad, I just pray to you, Father. I pray that you help. Mariana from Indianapolis, Lord, I pray that her cousin Patty, his family is just getting closer to you in this time, Father. I pray that they develop a strong relationship with you, Father. And I pray that they seek your face, God, more and more. And Father, I pray for everybody who calls up and everybody that encourage and praise. There's so many. Probably I couldn't even name all of them, but I want to pray for Karen in Florida, Lisa the Encourager, Blind Tony, Victoria Soldier, just everybody who call up. There's so many others that, you know, God, that I don't remember, but you do, God. And even for the ones on the sidelines, Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much because their prayers matter too. Even though if we don't hear them, God, you hear them, Father. So God, I pray that you just guide everybody. Be with them, give them strength, let them to build their relationship with you closer and closer and closer, God. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, Dad family. I need prayer for my brother. He struggles with demonic oppression. He's a chronic marijuana user, and he is having a hard time getting his head on straight. He was in prison for 24 years, and right now he's trying to learn how to live life out of prison. Prison becomes a secure place for people after a while, but I prayed for him a long time ago to be released. And Father, I just ask that you give me wisdom to help my brother so that he can learn how to adapt to this world out here, and help me to love him the way that you love me and the way that you love him. And Father, help me not to hinder his recovery. Help me to find help for his mental state, Father. And I just ask this in Jesus' name.